What's that for?
Make sure he's dead. There used to be a time it was hard to tell a comatose person from a dead one. So coroners tied bells to every body in the morgue. So if they heard a ting, they knew somebody down there wasn't quite ready to go.
So why do you have one?
I'm a bit of a traditionalist.
Why do you cover his face?
There wasn't much of a face left to cover. Point blank, gunshot blast tend to do that.
Who shot him?
Angle of entry suggests he did it to himself until we found strychnine in his system. Judging by the progress it made through his bloodstream, he was already dead by the time somebody blew his face off.
Why would anyone do that?
You sound like your boyfriend. Leave the why to the cops and the shrinks. We're just here to find cause of death. No more, no less. It's all right.
Welcome back to the Rainy Day Horror Show. I'm Big Daddy D, and you're listening to the number one podcast on the internet. And if you're wondering why there was a really long pause, because I don't know if my mic picked it up, I just burped. Me and Dusty seem to be burping a lot in these episodes. It's kind of weird. It's like every time we come on, we gotta, you know, let one loose. To be honest, I'd rather burp than fart, even though I've let some rip in this intro, right? But, you know, I've got my A&W root beer right here next to me. Yes, I say rut, not root. Fucking weirdos, like I say rough and not roof. Okay, it's rough and rut, okay? Don't get mad at me and Dusty, it's just how we talk. But on today's horror movie breakdown, we've got a good one. It's on Netflix. It's called The Autopsy of Jane Doe. And it's spooky. It's creepy. And it is quite gory, if I'm being honest. Not like gory like Terrifier, but like, you know, slow gore. And Dusty will explain what slow gore is because he just made it up on the spot. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce your host for this evening's show, Dusty Migballs, aka the Certified Cougar Hunter, and your host with the most. Now sit back, shut up, and enjoy this episode.
Thank you, Big D, for that beautiful little intro. And like he said, yes, we are doing a chilling movie for today's episode called The Autopsy of Jane Doe. Now this is a good movie. This is a really good movie. The storyline in this film is simple but beautiful, personally, I think. But we will touch base on that here in a little bit. Now, the rundown, like usual, for this episode is Synop, or the synopsis, as it is known in the biz. Then we're going to roll through the rating, genre, producer, director, the writer. And then we're going to get into the actors and actresses. And then after that, I'm going to give you my thoughts on what I think about this movie. And then after that, we roll into the inspiration behind this movie. And then from there, we go to our favorite part of the episode, the Rotten Tomato reviews. And then after that, I'm going to let you guys go for the rest of the day. Because I know we got to get back to work because it is Monday. Which sucks. But it is Monday. Which means we're just 4 days closer to the weekend. So, I'm going to take a sip real quick of my root beer. As Big D had explained in the intro. Yeah, we say root and roof. Okay? Don't knock the hate. Don't knock us for saying words differently, assholes. Okay? There's going to be a burp in 5 seconds, so if that makes you nauseous, close your ears. Never mind, there wasn't a burp. That'll come back later. I'll let you know when it comes. So, I had Chipotle for dinner. That shit was exquisite. So fucking good. You know? I forget how good Chipotle is every now and then, but we're going to jump into this episode. So, the synopsis for this movie is when father and son coroners investigate the death of a beautiful Jane Doe, they find increasingly bizarre clues. Rating R for graphic nudity, bloody horror violence, language, and unsettling grisly images. Genre horror, mystery, and thriller. Original language English. Director Andre Ovredal. Producer Rory Ake. Told you that burp was coming. That was a good one. Producer Rory Aitken, Fred Berger, Eric Garcia, and Ben Pug. I think that's how you say it. Writers are Richard Niang and Ian B. Goldberg. Release date, theaters, December 21st, 2016, limited. Release date, streaming, May 2nd, 2017. Runtime. This is actually pretty short of, you know, what we're usually used to on this channel. It's an hour and 26. I mean, it's not that much shorter, but usually they're around an hour and 30 and like between an hour 30, hour 50. But this one is a little short. And the distributor of this movie is IFC Films. Now the actors and actresses in this movie is Emil Hirsch as Austin Tilden, Brian Cox as Tommy Tilden, Ophelia Lovibond as Emma, Michael McElhattan, Sheriff Sheldon, Olwen Catherine Kelly plays Jane Doe, and Jane Perry plays Lieutenant Wade. Now, my thoughts on this film, okay? My thoughts on this film. I think it's a good film. I think it's a very, very beautiful movie. It was written well. I thought the acting was great. Basically, for a premise on this movie, because I'm not going to run through the whole thing just because there are bits and pieces that, you know, I don't want to give away because, yeah, it's, how do I explain it? We'll just roll into it and then I'll try and explain as I go. So basically, the whole premise of this movie is the father and son, which is, let me look up. Tommy and Austin, they are coroners, okay? The dad is Tommy, and Austin, who's the son, is just working with his dad, trying to, you know, just help him out in this coroner business. And as you go through the movie, you kind of realize that Austin wants to move on with his life. He wants to head out, go to college, go do certain stuff. I forgot what it was specifically in the movie, but he wants to leave this town. Now, they end up getting this Jane Doe, okay? They don't know what happened to her, how she died. Obviously, the cops brought her in, and they want them to do an autopsy to figure out how she died. And they start, you know, doing what the coroners usually do. Cut open the body, start figuring out what's going on. Now, at first, they're just looking at her, right? She's on the metal table, and they first notice that both of her hands and her ankles, well, the wrists and the ankles are completely shattered, like floppy shattered, right? And they're like, well, that's a little weird. I wonder what happened. And then another thing that Asta notices is that her body, her waist doesn't fit her frame. And that plays a huge role because the time period that she was... Okay, we'll get to that in a second. And he's like, oh, that's a little weird. And as they're digging around this body, looking on the exterior, they notice that she had dirt under her fingernails that came from a specific part in the state that they are in. I forgot where it's from. I forgot where it takes place, but... And it's like this specific soil that comes from the northern side of the state that they're in. Next thing they know is that her tongue is missing, chopped off. She's missing a molar. And then they start like, oh, this is weird. You know, what's going on here? So they start cutting her open. They notice that her lungs are like completely black, like a... Well, in the movie, he said, I would have expected this from like a third degree burn victim. That's how dark her lungs were. And then he cuts out the heart, and then he notices that there's a lot of scar tissue on all of her organs, which is, you know, weird, right? Why would this victim have zero, like, outside wounds, but her innards are fucked up? And I say outside wounds, minus the wrists and the ankles and the tongue and the tooth. She didn't have any, like, incisions, cut marks, bullet wounds, nothing. It was just, she was just normal skin, right? Now, if you're really perverted and you want to watch this movie for you sickos like Jeffrey Dahmer, okay, this is going to get me a little bit of backlash, but I will say, this dead body, bro, she's naked. I'm not, you know, just out there. You don't see the vajayjay, all right? You don't see the vagine. Ew, cringe. But you see them tatas, okay? Now, I'm just going to let you know, from a man, and ladies, cover your ears. Boys, she's got a nice rack. Whew. And them tatas are, you know, spicy. Now, I really hope that the person that, you know, play the dead body doesn't fucking hear me say that, because I don't want to get in trouble, but here we are. Fucking said it, and I'm rolling with it. Now, as they are, you know, dissecting this body, weird shit happens. Okay? Weird shit starts to happen. Paranormal shit starts to happen. Okay? And as this paranormal shit starts to happen, which they do have some pretty good jump scares, okay? I will say, I think the jump scares are decent. They're not the best, but they're good. They satisfied my scary needs, okay? And as they're cutting this body open and all this paranormal shit is happening, they start finding weird shit within her body. They end up finding like a piece of like string wrapped around one of her teeth. They find a cloth with some ritualistic writing on it. They find, oh, there's another thing that they found. Forgot it, but there's another thing that they found. And as this movie progresses, you know, this weird shit starts happening. They have a really, really cool paranormal little monster in it, right? It's like this one victim that you see her briefly before they get the Jane Doe. And she has like her eyes sewn shut and her mouth sewn shut. And it's really, really creepy what they do with this lady. And when this paranormal shit is going on, they really, one of my favorite things that they did in this movie, because I thought it was really, really creative, and they do it in video games, they do it in horror video games, but was when they were doing certain things, and the radio would change. And it would change again, and it would change again for different scenarios. And it was basically like putting out what was going to happen to him. Like, it was really, really cool. Like, this one part, the radio comes through, and this guy says, there's a really bad storm tonight, guys. Stay in the house, and, you know, don't do anything, okay? It's just, we're having torrential rainstorms going on right now, right? So that sets the setting, because then after that you hear thunder, lightning. Well, you don't hear lightning, but you hear thunder, you hear the rain, you hear all of that, right? And then it changes to, as they pulled the heart out or something like that, it's like, what is it? Like, let me see your heart or something weird like that. And then after that, it changes again at a different scene. And it's like basically telling them, you guys aren't going to survive. You guys need to stop right now or you won't survive. And then it keeps going throughout the movie. And it is so, so dope. And every time something paranormal happens, this evil entity basically has like this little, like, you know, on Santa's outfit, the little jingle bell thing. It's basically like that, and every time this evil entity steps, this monster steps, you hear the bell ring and ring and ring, letting you know that it's getting closer. And at this one point, so Austin has a girlfriend, and one of the powers that this evil entity had was that it can make you, it like puts you in a place where you are kind of in a facade. Like, you know, in some movies where a person kill somebody, but it's not the person that they intended to kill, because the evil entity like put something, like put an image in their brain and like put them in this. How do I explain it? Let me rewind. Let's go to The Conjuring 3 for an example. Remember when Ed gets like kind of possessed and he's at his house and that evil entity is trying to come at him and he has a steak knife and he goes to stab it, and then as he goes to stab it, it cuts to a different scene. Well, it like the dream state that he was in kind of opens up and you see that he's about to stab Lorraine. That's what happened in this movie with Austin and his girlfriend. Now, I'm not going to say what happened, but because I don't want to spoil it, but something similar to that happened, and it was really, really cool that this evil entity had this. Now, I know it's kind of cliche in a lot of horror movies, these evil entities can do that, but this transition and the way it kind of really set the mood and shocked like the actors and like what was about to come was really, really cool. Another thing that I liked about this movie is it was kind of like, so for my video game people, it's kind of like Resident Evil in a way, or kind of like Uncharted. Where, you know how we're in those games and they have like little puzzles and stuff like that you gotta figure out to progress the storyline? Well, this film had those little puzzles put into it, and it was really, really cool on how they did it and how it, like, during the coroner's investigation, how it all came together. I really, really did enjoy that. I thought that was very, very cool. Another thing that I liked about this movie was that It was a little bit gory, but not to the, like, so people are like, when you think of Terrifier, you think of like, oh, that's so much blood, that's so much gore. Well, this was more of like a slow and realistic gore. And what I mean by that is, you physically saw them cut out the heart, you physically saw them cut out the ribs, you know, that kind of stuff. And for me, that is way worse than what, like, how Terrifier is. Like, the only scene that really, really shook me in Terrifier is when he's sawing that woman in half, right? Or is it All Hallows Eve? Is it that one? Or is it Terrifier 1? I can't remember. I think it might be Terrifier 1. But it's that specific scene where he's sawing that woman in half. Like, that's slow. Yes, it's really gory, but that's slow, and it makes you watch it. That's what this movie did, and I thought that was really, really beautiful, and I really, really liked that. And this movie's, like, plot in this, its storyline is so simple, but yet so effective, because it takes this investigation route, and it's really, really awesome. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was really, really enjoyable. Like, I'm a huge storyline-driven kind of guy. So if you give me a really good storyline, I'm going to absolutely love the movie, unless you fuck it up halfway through like they did in Imaginary. That was kind of bullshit, but this storyline is really, really good. And as I was watching this movie, I don't know if you guys have heard about it, this is going to be targeted to the gamers in this, in our community. It reminded me of the mortuary assistant. And for the people that don't know, it's basically a PC game where you are a mortuary assistant and you get this specific body, and as you like are dissecting this body trying to figure out what happened, a lot of paranormal shit happens around this body. And this is exactly what it reminded me of, and I thought it was really, really cool. There are if you go on YouTube, there's a bunch of YouTubers that have done an episode or a whole series on it, and you can watch it. Personally, you guys should go and watch Mad Vlad. I think he is awesome. And, well, the name of his channel is The Outer Middle Show. And I don't know if he is going to hear this. It would be dope because I love Mad Vlad. He's one of my favorite YouTubers of all time. This is going to be weird, but like watching him do all the horror video games, it's made me want to go get a PC and start, you know, my own YouTube horror channel, if that makes sense. And I think he's really funny. And if you kind of like my kind of humor, he is just like, okay, he's funnier than me. Sorry, I have to admit it, but he is a little bit, you know, more funny than I am, which is okay. He can have that spot, but go out and watch shout out to him. Go and watch his series that he did on it, because he played it. And it was just so funny. But that's another thing that I liked about this movie, is it reminded me of a video game. And I just think it's a really, really good movie. And I really, really think you guys should go out and watch it. Like I said, it's an hour and 26 minutes. Not that long. You can watch it on, you know, a work night. Okay. It's not going to take up a whole lot of time. And I don't think you will be wasting an hour and like 30 minutes of your time. So now we are going to move into where they drew inspiration from this movie. Well, where they drew inspiration for this movie. Now, from what I could find, it's fiction. It's not based off of like a real case, like a real paranormal case, but they did take in like inspiration from other like urban legends. And I'm trying to find these urban legends and trying to see which one it is, but I haven't been able to yet, so I'm going to keep searching and keep looking deep. So what we're going to do instead is I'm actually going to go to Screen Rant, our favorite little breakdown website of, you know, the inspiration behind things. And I'm actually going to say like 10 things that, well, according to this title, it's 10 things you need to know about the autopsy of Jane Doe. So we're going to get into it, and I'm going to read you just a couple of them, not a whole lot, just a little bit. Now, the dead body, the Jane Doe in this movie was actually played by a real person. And I know I said that earlier, but like, this is incredible. Okay, I think it's personally incredible because she is laying on that table the entire fucking movie. Like, it does not, like, really leave the mortuary, I guess is what you say. Like, where they dissect the bodies. I don't know the correct terminology for it. But, like, she's laying there for a really, really long time with her eyes open. Which is just, like, this is just crazy. And the reason that they specifically chose actress Olwen Kelly was because out of all of the people that had applied for this movie, she was picked because she was a yoga instructor and she was really, really good at yoga, and she was able to basically breathe so shallow that she could still look dead. Like, that was impressive. I think it's very impressive. And for her to stand there and limit her blinking and limit her breathing, like, personally, that's a lot. That's a lot of talent. Now, this movie that was directed, who is Andre Overdahl, this is actually his first English film. He's a Norwegian director, and he has only made like foreign films up until this point. And this is his first real like English, quote unquote English film, which is kind of cool, which is really, really cool. And the father and the son in this movie, they actually worked with real coroners to prepare themselves for this movie. And they also observed the attitude of the real coroners, including the things they talked about and their views towards life, which is really, really awesome, because not a whole lot of movies do that. You know what I mean? Like, let's take like a early 2000s military movie, right? Where they have the Hollywood Infinite clip where they just pull the trigger and it shoots like 40,000 bullets, or just any even some military films today. You know, you pull the trigger and it just goes on forever, and it feels like it has a bottomless magazine. This one is like, I really enjoy that they took the time out of their day to try and perfect, you know, this film in that aspect. Like, not a lot of people or directors would actually be like, no, go watch the coroner, learn from them, and then just bring that to the movie. Which just adds that, it's subtle, but it adds that realness to this film. It adds that macabre feeling to this film. And that's really, really cool. Our last thing about this movie is that, get this. Okay, I found the inspiration just now. All right. I had to scroll down. Okay, I lied. I did read somewhere that they did take inspiration from other urban legends, but Andre Overdahl also took inspiration for The Conjuring, from The Conjuring movie. After he watched The Conjuring movie, he quote-unquote felt he needed to make something that was unique and as iconic as that horror film. And he also stated it was such a classic horror movie that came at a time where all these movies had tried to do all kinds of different stuff, and then suddenly it was like getting back to basics. So, which is kind of cool. I would say if you really want my opinion, I personally think that The Conjuring really started the new era for horror movies. I mean, if you think about it, like, you know how you have the early 2000 horror movies where it's filmed a little bit different, the CGI is just brutal, it's not that good, and then you get from like 2008 to like 2013, it's got like a weird, like, CGI is like almost there but not quite there, and it's just when you look at the film, it's got like a weird tint to it, I guess is what I would try to describe it as. It might not make sense, but it feels like it has like a different tint. Like the earlier horror movies in like the 2000s, like let's take Scream for a second. I know that was 1996, but I'm going to include that in this. You know, it's got like a little fuzzy, you know, it's a little bit more washed out, right? It's a little bit more washed out. Then you move to like 2008 to like 2013. It's a little vibrant, you know, they're mixing with the colors a little bit, but it still has that like washed out tint to it. And then when they came along with The Conjuring in 2014, up until, you know, I would say now, but like CGI was there, all the people, all the colors in that movie or in those movies weren't as like washed out, weren't as gray, weren't as like, you know, black and white. You know what I mean? And that's, I personally think that the Conjuring movies decided to, they really flipped the script for the horror movie, like, genre. Specifically, just The Conjuring itself. Just The Conjuring itself in 2014 that was released. I think it really flipped the script and really turned the page for the horror movie genre. So, now we're going to get into our favorite part of this episode, the Rotten Tomato reviews. So, our first one comes up from Donald Clark from the Irish Times top critic. Fans of the genre will rejoice in the rare sight of a new kind of threat. They will celebrate further at the director's success in satisfactorily exploiting a challenging premise. Second one comes from Ed Potten. He works for The Times UK. Top critic. This chilling chamber piece from the Norwegian director Andre Overdahl is an exercise in restrained horror. Our third critic comes from Mike McKill from The Guardian, top critic. I burped again. The second half is merely morbid runaround, punctuating its soundtrack crashes with self-justifying footnotes on historical misogyny. Now, hear me out. I'm not the brightest guy in the room, okay? I mean, I've definitely got a dim light bulb. But it could be just because I'm a man, all right? And I also was semi-paying attention during this movie, okay? But I didn't really notice any misogyny involved. Because it was just two dudes. Father and son. No women. At all. Didn't even talk about women. Unless he's referring to the naked lady on the table. But I mean, like, if you want to get realistic, it's what you have to fucking do, right? It's what you have to do. Okay? But I don't know what he's referring to as misogynistic in this film. Our fourth and final review comes from Kim Newman, who works for the Empire magazine, and he is a top critic. Creates a successful feeling of mounting dread, punctuated by crashing thunder in surgical viscera. So, another thing I wanted to add, and I'm just, you know, I'm not going to, okay, well, I'm going to say it, but I'm going to just hint to what, I'm not going to come out blatantly and say what I'm about to say, so I'm going to hint at it. Another thing that I liked about this movie is this lady, nope, I'm going to take that back, not the lady, I'm just going to say this, Salem Witch Trials, probably gave it away, but it's still super fucking good. And I loved that too. Because I did my first episode. The first rainy day horror show episode on the Salem Witch Trials. I didn't do like the whole thing. I did a specific guy, Giles Corey. But I still did the Salem Witch Trials. I love the Salem Witch Trials. But I want y'all to know that there was actually a way worse witch trial than Salem. And it actually took place in Europe. And I'm going to do a future episode on it. But I just want to let you guys know that I thought there was just Salem. And that was it. I thought that was the worst fucking thing. Nope. There was something way worse than that. So, yeah. That's all I got for you guys today. Hope you guys Monday is going good, okay? I mean, we only got like 4.5 more days, so, I mean, could be worse, so, I mean, yeah, it could be worse. You could be, you know, an amputee, no fucking legs, right? Which, no disrespect to you legless brothers and sisters, okay? It was just like, I don't think anybody wants to lose their legs or an arm. Like me personally, if I had to choose between an arm and a leg, fucking take my leg. I would rather have both my arms than one of my legs, than both my legs. But yeah, if I had to give up an arm or give up a leg, I'm totally giving up a leg. Because then what I would do is I get a little, one of those little fake things, and I'd get like a fishbowl prosthetic, where I'd have like a little goldfish in the prosthetic. That'd be so fucking sick. But yeah, that's it. So I'll see you guys on Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday for horror, not a horror movie breakdown. What the fuck? For a short Reddit horror story. Like I said last week, I'm switching it up and I'm going to be doing our like cult, some true crime, depending on what it is. And any other weird urban legends, creepy stories, stuff like that on Fridays from now on, just because it gives me a little bit more time to research so I can get fully in depth with the story and not just be awful. So with that being said, remember, stay frosty, stay foxy, and most importantly, the most important thing on this planet, stay safe, you beautiful peacocks. I love y'all. Deuces.